Well, you can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please. Beginning in verse 15, I'll read down through verse 23 here in Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 15, I'll read by myself. You can follow along there in your Bibles. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." All right. Well, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to try to stay right here. I might have to duct tape myself to the pulpit here to keep from moving around. But we're going to look at just a unique word. It's a word that is mentioned in its singular sense over 272 times in our King James Bibles. It is a word in other derivatives mentioned a couple of hundred other times as well. And so you understand that when we talk about a word that's mentioned so many times in Scripture, it's probably a little bit important, wouldn't you say, to figure out and to know about it. So this word that tonight we're going to look at was mentioned twice here in this passage of Scripture, and it is simply the word power. Power. Now, just by maybe a quick show of hands, how many of you think you've got a really good grasp of the word power and what it means? All right, we got a few. All right, maybe half a dozen. Okay, good. All right, that's not bad out of 10, you know. So, all right, now, I'm going to read there are actually 15 definitions of the word power. Did you know that? Didn't know that. How many of you thought there was more than one? Okay. Less than five. Okay. All right. There you go. Well, there's 14 of them. I'm not going to read all of them. In a philosophical sense. Okay. It is the faculty of doing or performing anything. Okay, so that's technically what power means. It's the ability, it's the faculty of doing or performing anything. It is the faculty of moving or producing a change in something. It is ability or strength. Now, how many of you thought that's what power meant? All right, the faculty or ability to do or perform an action, okay, or to produce a change in something, okay? That's what it means, all right? How many of you are like me and you thought power just meant this next definition? Force, strength, or energy. How many of you thought power meant that? All right, good, good. And then there are a few of us out there that every once in a while tend to participate in some form of entertainment. You probably thought this definition of power, and that is the power of the mind or force. These are not the droids you're looking for, okay? Okay, never mind. So you have the power of the mind, you have the power physical power, strength, energy, you have the actual philosophical sense of the word power, of performing or doing something, producing a change in something. You have this word power meaning ability, natural or moral. That's power. You have a quality of any natural body to produce change or to make an impression on another body. That's power. You have a command. That's power. The right of governing is power. An actual government or dominion, that's considered a power. A rule or sway is power. Authority is power. Influence is power. So all of these things, in a secular sense, are what power is. Now, how many of you knew that this word power was so broad? Okay? How many of you had an idea that maybe it was more broad than you thought it was? Okay, absolutely. That's where we're going with that. Okay, now, we haven't even got to the scriptural senses of the word power. Those are all secular, if you will. Do you see it? We're getting down the list here of these definitions. Now, in a scriptural sense, the word power is mentioned as a right or a privilege. That's a power. Angels, good or bad, were considered a power. Violence, force, compulsion is considered power. Jesus Christ in Scripture is called the power of God. As through him and his gospel, God displays his power and authority by ransoming and saving sinners. So we have this culmination of all of these different ideas about power. And so what I want to kind of focus on is, what can we learn about this word power? And again, in Scripture, it's used many of these different ways, depending upon the context of the passage of Scripture that we look at. For instance, if we just take a look at what we read here in Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse, it says that Jesus Christ is this power, okay? In verse 19, it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Okay, so what is the apostle talking about here in the scripture? So we have here saying that God's power was to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So in other words, this power is influencing us, right? It is doing exactly what power says it's supposed to do, producing a change, its ability or strength. It's causing something to be changed or be made an impression upon. This is what God is trying to accomplish. Now, as I thought about this word power, and I thought about God, and I thought about the Holy Spirit, I thought about Christ, and then I thought about my flesh. I thought about the devil. I thought about the world. I thought about others and other entities that are out there. All of these things are vying for or jockeying for power in this day and time. Because if you look at it in the sense of me as the being, and those things as the outside forces, they're all trying to influence my life. They're all trying to make an impression on my life. Now, will I give in to that change? Will I allow that act of performance or moving or force or strength or energy or all those things to move me as a being? Did you know that you can actually resist the power of God? You can. You say, Pastor, come on. I mean, we're talking about God and His power. But did you know that we as people can say no and resist His influence in our life? We can accept His influence in our lives, right? We can be indifferent about His influence in our lives. But there's all kinds of responses. And just because someone has the power of being able to, the ability or the privilege to enact against us or on us, doesn't mean that we have to receive that action. Let's say a government which has been given authority by the people, say or make some law, do you have to follow it? No. Right? But if you don't, there's going to be consequences, right? And you may have to either live or die with those consequences, etc. The same is true with any of these entities that wield power. Even if I resist God and His power, I'm going to have to deal with the consequences. Hey, we're talking about the old flesh, right? We like ourselves. If I resist the flesh, are there consequences? There are. Hey, there's been a few times in my life where I've decided it was important to fast. Have you ever fasted before? Okay? My body does not like fasting. I have a very high metabolism, and fasting does not go well for me. I'll just tell you that. Not only do I get hungry, which is bad enough, because I get hungry like 7 times a day. But after a bit, I start to see spots. I mean, my body like super rebels in fasting. And I get, you know, you get headaches and spots, and I see the, you know, the, all this stuff. And then it's just not good. And over time, it just kind of gets worse. But so I'm telling the flesh no, and it's rebelling, right? There's a consequence, because it wants things from me, just like any other entity does. So when we talk about power, we need to think about how it affects us as people. Now, God has all power. You understand that. It's all in His ability to wield. But how are we going to respond to it? As individuals? As families? As a local church? In this day and time? What is our response to God's power going to be? So, as we go through in the next few minutes, literally, these ideas, I want you to think about the power of God and how it affects us as the human being. First of all, in Psalm 21, it says, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing thy praise." So will we sing and praise thy power. So we can choose to praise God's power. We can choose to say, God, you are great because of your power. We are in awe of your power. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be in awe of God's power. Don't let a day go by that you're not just amazed, Brother and Mrs. Brunworth, by the power of God to spare you from an accident. I mean, for all we know, he literally could have stopped your vehicle with His ability and power protecting you from that difficult event. You know, God and His power are unmatched. They're really past us really understanding. And we ought to be like David and sing and praise the power of God. In Romans chapter 1, The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Folks, not only can we, should we sing and praise his power, but we have, the God's power has been revealed unto us. We can see God's power. If you can't see the power of God in your day-to-day life, your eyes are shut. You're not paying attention. The gospel has been given to us. The word of God, which is the power of God, has been given to us. We have been given an opportunity to escape hell. That's the power of God in our lives. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And God's righteousness has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. It's amazing what the power of God looks like. Not only can we recognize his power and sing it, and sing about it and praise it, him for it, but we can see it. It's been revealed to us through his son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Salvation is the power of God. God created man. Wow. Was just playing in the garden one day, forming things, and said, hey, this looks like a man. Oh, look, it's a man. I mean, he created man. That's amazing. And all the different animals and all the worlds. I mean, just go back and read Genesis 1 and how God spoke things into existence. You want a display of the miraculous power of God. But beyond that, God in his foreknowledge knew that his creation would choose to go against him. And he provided a way. And I love what the Bible says. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Providing salvation. And as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And he, that is very shortly thereafter, gave himself on the cross. Because let me tell you something. Man did not kill God that day. Do you understand that? He gave his life. He allowed his life to end so that we could go free. Those Roman soldiers didn't kill him that day. You understand that? He said, it is finished. And the Bible tells us he gave up the ghost. That's the power of God. You can't say, well, man, that's a man killed God that day. No, I'm sorry. That's not how it worked. God gave his only begotten son because he so loved us. God's power is amazing. God has demonstrated his power amongst us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As we look through our lives, we are certain that God the Father is a powerful being. We are certain that God the Son, Jesus Christ, as he said in Matthew, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you understand that God, the Father, is on the throne? He's orchestrating everything. God, the Son, has been given all power. He has conquered death and hell. He holds the keys. He has set us free. He has given us eternal life through his sacrifice. He is raised from the dead. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He has all power. The Holy Spirit of God is powerful. It says that now God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's all wonderful. We know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the most powerful being in the universe. And no, I didn't mess up the grammar of that. Because you understand they are three, but they're one. Plural yet singular. Power. And this power can affect our lives. Don't miss this. Because this is kind of where this whole word comes into clarity for us. So God is going to distribute. He's going to show. He's going to enact. He's going to demonstrate his power. God wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. God has created all things. We know that in Christ Jesus, all things consist. He has the preeminence. But it's to the point of producing a change in something. It's to the point of performing something. How about bringing something back from the dead? Isn't that what we receive when we receive Christ as our Savior? God's power is able to flow, if you will, or to accomplish that which is supposed to accomplish if we receive Christ as our Savior. Hey, folks, listen. I know I'm looking around. I'm probably speaking to most of you that are, you're born again already. You understand this. But you need to let that flow through you so that other people can witness what has happened to you. And not only that, Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse us from all of our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how often do we allow him to do that? Do we submit to this power? Do we allow this power that God wields to influence us? To move us, to manifest itself in us. You see, we've got to decide. Because here's what happens. Not only is God a powerful entity, but so is our adversary. Now, thankfully, the world, the flesh, the devil, all of their power is limited. They have limited power. God limits their power. And you ought to be thankful for that. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, remember what Job was going through? God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, sure, I sure have considered him. I wanted to eat his lunch a few times, but you wouldn't let me. Oh, that was in the Greek, or the Hebrew, I'm sorry. He said, no, you got a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch him. God says, go ahead. You can touch everything he's got, but just don't touch him. And as soon as the devil was given that power, what did he do to Job? Took all his money.
Right? Took all his possessions and took his children away from him. Did Job submit to the devil's power in his life? No. No, he didn't. So there was another encounter. God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Satan said, "Yeah. But you know what, God? If you'll let me touch his health, then he'll curse you to your face." God said, go ahead, but just don't take his life. So what happens now? Boils from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Sitting in a pile of ashes because that's the only thing that can soothe the pain. With a broken piece of pottery scraping the sores. Your wife just so frustrated and so, you know, hurt by what has happened so far and seeing you conditioned just can't take it anymore and says, "Curse God and die." Job said, "Hey, I came into this world naked, I'm going out naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do you understand? The world is seeking to make an influence on you. The devil is seeking to make an influence on you. Your flesh, your own flesh is trying to deceive you and to make an influence on you. Don't be affected by their power. Then the third thing. Don't be fooled by the value of your own power. We need to remember that we in and of ourselves cannot do anything. What happened to Hezekiah? What happened to some of these Old Testament kings that did love God and they did serve God? I think about Josiah. He did some wonderful things for God. All the days that the priests were alive and he followed God until what happened? Until they got strong. And when they were strong, what didn't they need anymore? God. Folks, we got to remember that without him, we can do nothing. It is his strength. It is his power that we rely upon. You understand that anything in our lives, I love what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. We must remember where this ability and where my power comes from. It's not from myself. It's not from the flesh. It's not from this world. It's not from the devil. It is from God Almighty. And if we can remember that God is the one who gives power, God is the one who limits power, God is the one who, if you will, controls these powers and things, then we, if we keep ourselves in check, can have the right attitude toward this power. We read the verse recently in 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are but flesh. We are finite, and he is infinite. We need to make sure we have the right perspective about power. We need to make sure that we do not give in to the wrong powers. God has given us the power to become the sons of God, to become saved. He's given us the ability to let this power work in us through the Holy Spirit of God. But we've got to keep it in check. Not to let it go to our heads, if you will. And remember that it is about God and not about us. There are many more things. I could probably spend another week on this, I think. And maybe I will, I don't know. But it is so very important that we understand what God says about power. In the sense of God, in the sense of the other influences that are in this world that are limited, and in the sense of where this power comes from, that it's not in us, but rather Christ in us, where this power source comes from.